Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. I tell you what, if everyone smiled during worship like Cal does, we would be in good shape, except when he's not, right? So, man, it's sure good to be with you today. It's amazing that we find ourselves here in 2026 already. It seems as if it was just yesterday that I was standing up here presenting to you a year in review for 2024, going into year 2025. And yet, here we are. The singing this morning has been beautiful. I am confident that our Lord has been glorified. It's amazing to be a part of the Rosetti City Church of Christ. The Spirit of God is with us, and we can do great things in His name. I did click it on, by the way, Sergey. Let's see what happens. Hey, there it is. I'm kind of a novice on this gig here. You know, if I was going to describe to you as much as possible the things that happened in 2025, it would take me a long time, like longer than Terry for you. And that's a minute. But when I think about all the things that happened this past year, the word that keeps coming to my mind to describe 2025 is the word impactful. I think in 2025 there are a lot of impactful moments that affected us in so many ways. We were able to participate in so many events and activities and ministry efforts that have really made a difference, that have really touched lives, change hearts, all the while giving glory to God. We said goodbye to some wonderful and amazing people. We were left challenged with the responsibility to carry on, to be the example to other folks like they were to us. This past year, we also welcomed a couple of new shepherds to the flock, one with a beard and one without. Y'all got that right. Seriously, it was great to have Brother Jason to the eldership. He has brought such value to the congregation in this role. We're extremely grateful for him and for Ashley. Of course, we mentioned Baby Shepherd, which reminds us that we welcomed some new babies this year. And also, new families came our way. What an amazing blessing that has been for us here today in the city, to have grown with the addition of godly families who continue to add to the number of kind and loving people we are privileged to fellowship and to worship with. When we think of being impactful, I certainly believe that in 2025, this congregation is full of living stones. As far as the 2025 budget is concerned, we had a yearly budget of $746,073, and that equated to a weekly need of $14,347.56. Now, that was a challenging budget for us, but I am happy to report to you that we ended the year not only meeting but exceeding our budget by almost $55,000. So on behalf of the eldership, let me say thank you. Thank you for your generous giving, your willing heart to be willing servants to do the work, to give of yourselves to serve, and to help us to be the living stones, the impactful servants that God has called us to be. So, what about 2026? Let's start with the budget. The yearly budget for 2026 is $783,843. That equates to a weekly need of $15,073.90. And in comparison to our 2025 budget, you'll see an increase of $726.35 per week, or a 5.06% increase from last year. The deacon and the ministry leaders met with the elders to propose this budget, and it was very quickly approved. There was strong commitment in the room by those men to take personal ownership of their ministry and a commitment of personal giving to help meet this need. I will not go into great detail about the line items of the budget this morning, but I certainly would encourage you to get with the deacon responsible for the ministry you have questions about to get those answers. But I would like to give you just a few highlights. The administration ministry had a reduction of $10,000 in their budget. Buildings and grounds increased their budget by $8,000. Both youth and family and adult education had a $2,500 increase. Fellowship increased by $4,400. Missions by $3,100. The safety team, which is our security team, had a $1,700 increase. The medical team had a $1,345 increase. And we've introduced a new line item this year called the capital improvement. This line item added $25,000 to the overall yearly budget. We have some aging air conditions that we want to be prepared for, or anything else that may come up. We had to replace our floor in our fellowship hall and in our hallway just recently. We need to be better prepared for those situations. So as we know, the cost of things over the last few years have really skyrocketed. So naturally, we'll have some increases. But I can tell you that the increases that are listed here today are based on ministry efforts that will serve people in this community and equip us for ministry. So the elders are very excited about 2026 and what it could bring. The opportunities are there for us to serve our community and to touch lives. This is what we're called to do, church, in 2026. And this is what we're going to do. We ask you to be in prayer for all of our plans, our ministries, and our goals for this year. Pray for open doors and opportunities to touch hearts and change lives. There will be more said in coming weeks about events coming up, but one thing I do want to make you aware of that we need to be planning for right now is maybe something that you did not know. 2026 marks the 75th anniversary of this congregation, going back to Fairview. So on March 14th and 15th, that's a Saturday and a Sunday, we're going to have our 75th homecoming. On that Saturday, we will have probably singing and barbecue. We'll have some activities, and then we will worship together on Sunday. We're sending out an invitation to all of our former members to join us on this very special occasion. Be in prayer about that. 75 years, that is really amazing. And I'm looking forward to the next 75. Now, Carrie had announced us recently that our theme for the Azalea City Church of Christ in 2026 is Love Your Neighbor. This morning, I want to talk to us for a few minutes along those lines, but I just want to focus on one word: legacy. You know, everyone leaves behind something. Every one of us in this room will leave a legacy. The question is not if we will leave a legacy, but the question really is, what kind? You see, long after our names are forgotten, long after our houses are sold, long after our jobs are filled by someone else, something remains. It remains in our children. It remains in our neighbors. It remains in the people whose lives intersected with ours. You know, church, some people leave behind memories. Some leave behind scars. Some leave behind bitterness. Yes. Some leave behind faith. Here's the truth. You do not have to be famous to change the future. You simply have to be faithful. This year our theme is love your neighbor. And by loving your neighbor is not just about today. It's about tomorrow. It's about generations yet unborn. Because when you introduce someone to Christ, you don't just change their life. You change the trajectory of the entire family tree. You know, friends, the Bible is a story of generational impact. From the opening pages of Scripture, God thinks in generations. He said in Genesis 17 and verse 7, I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. You see, God has never worked only in moments. He's worked in movements, He's worked in families, and He's worked in legacies. Think about Abraham. God did not choose Abraham because he was powerful. God chose Abraham because he was willing. Genesis 18 and verse 19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. You know, Abraham didn't live to see everything God promised. Isaac saw it. Jacob saw it. Israel saw it. Abraham's obedience now has echoed for centuries. And church, here's the truth that you and I must face. Your obedience today may be answered by blessings that you never lived to see. And with that thought in mind, let's remember this morning that legacy is not built by wealth. It's built by faith. Now, the world tells us that our legacy looks like property and savings account and businesses and achievements and reputation. But Scripture tells you and me a different story altogether. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, and that inheritance is not merely financial, it's also, and most importantly, spiritual. Because money may help your grandchildren live comfortably, but faith determines where they will live eternally. You can give your children a house and still leave them homeless spiritually. You can give them education and still leave them without wisdom. But when you give them Christ, you give them everything they need for life and godliness. So loving your neighbor means loving their future. When Jesus said in Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, he wasn't speaking of shallow kindness. Loving your neighbor is not just being polite, it's not just being friendly, it's just not waving as you pass by. Biblical love always moves toward salvation. If I truly love my neighbor, I cannot be indifferent to their eternity. Let me say this carefully and clearly. If I say I love my neighbor, but I do not care about their soul, I love them much less than Jesus. Because Jesus never separated compassion from truth. Here's an illustration of one invitation that can change a family forever. There's the story's been repeated in extraordinary ways 1,000 times. A struggling couple moves into a neighborhood and they're exhausted. Their marriage is hanging on by a thread and their children are witnessing all of this. And then a neighbor notices them. Not with judgment, not with gossip, but with love. A plate of food. A conversation over the fence. An invitation, would you like to come to church? One Sunday becomes another. Another becomes a habit. The word begins to work. The gospel begins to heal. And years later, their children are faithful Christians and their grandchildren are being raised in the church. All because someone loved their neighbor enough to open their mouth. Friends, that's legacy. One person can redirect an entire generation. You know, the Bible's full of individuals whose faith altered the future. Think about Timothy. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Notice that order. Grandmother, mother, son. Faith is taught. It's modeled. Faith is passed down. Someone in that family chose to follow Christ And that ripple has reached the mission of the church. You know, your faith may someday end up with someone in a pulpit. Your faith today may end up with someone teaching a class or standing in a foreign land preaching the gospel. You may never know. I can tell you this, I have witnessed generational faith firsthand. I have seen it so many times in my life. When I was putting this together and I wrote that statement, I was thinking about examples of that. And for some reason, Ralph Irwin came to my mind. Ralph Irwin was an elder at Central, great mentor to me, great man of God. He and his sweet wife Donna passed their faith down to their children. One of their children, Danny Irwin, is now a deacon here at the Azalea City Church of Christ, serving one of the foundational ministries of loving your neighbor, and that's benevolence. Danny and Lisa continue to share the faith with their children, with James and with Ellen. Ellen's a member here, serving in this congregation, doing many wonderful things. Her and Philip are passing that faith down to their children. And just last Sunday, Dawson stood on this stool right here and read Scripture to us. Don't you want that for your family? Better yet, don't you want that for every family? You know, the hard truth about all of that is that somebody has to be first. Every faithful family has a first believer. Someone had to break the cycle. Someone had to say, my family may not have served the Lord, but I will. Joshua said it pretty plainly in Joshua 24:15 when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua did not say, as for me and my comfort, or as for me and my preference. He said, as for me and my house. That means leadership. That means responsibility. That means sacrifice. And loving your neighbor sometimes means helping them to become the first in their family. That means we need to be willing to help others, if need be, to break the cycle. Their families where addiction has been there for generations. Abuse is normalized, where faith is absent and hopelessness is almost inherited. But church, when Christ enters a family, the cycle is broken. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new creation means a new future. You're not trapped by your past. Your neighbor's not trapped by theirs. The gospel gives people a new last name, Christian. And by that we understand that legacy requires intentional living. You see, legacy is not something that happens accidentally. You don't drift into spiritual impact. Moses commanded Israel in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, these commandments I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them or teach them diligently to your children. You notice those words there? That takes effort. That takes time. That takes conversation. Church, legacy is built in dinner table conversation. Legacy is built in car rides and open Bibles and honest prayers and dedication to fellowship and to worship. And yes, yes, legacy is built in difficult conversations. You know, I said a few minutes ago that God worked and thought in generations. And so did His Son. So did Jesus. Jesus did not just preach to crowds. He invested in 12. And one of them, as flawed as he was, preached the first gospel sermon. And Peter preached to thousands. And those thousands taught others. And here we are, 2,000 years later. You were here because someone loved their neighbor before you were born. So what will remain when you are gone?
Someday, someone will clean out your house. They'll sort through your belongings and decide what is worth keeping. But what they cannot throw away is the faith you planted. You may never know the full impact of your love, but God knows. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7, "So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase." Your job, my job, is not to save the world. Your job is to love your neighbor. Invite them. Teach them. Pray for them. Walk with them. Feed them. Because when you introduce someone to Christ, you are not just changing a life. You're changing generations. It's interesting that as things happen, it becomes blatantly obvious, or at least in my mind and others, sometimes the Lord is trying to teach us something. We said, sure, we want to have a theme called love your neighbor. It's like the Lord said, okay, prove it this year. It's up to us to prove it, to be the church, to love our neighbors, to spread the gospel, to spread care and compassion and empathy and sympathy, and meet people where they are and just keep and show them how not to stay there. Maybe today you realize that you need to be the first in your family. You need to take your legacy more seriously. Maybe you need to love your neighbor more boldly. Or maybe you need to come to Christ yourself. Folks, the gospel is still as powerful today as it ever was. And that invitation of that gospel is still open today for you and for me. Your legacy can begin today. If you are outside the body of Christ and you're ready to be the first in your family, you can come repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being immersed in the waters of baptism so that all of your sins are washed away. But if you've done that, and you realize that you need to realign your priorities to match with the will of God, to get in the legacy building business, you can come. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Or maybe you're going to do that in your seats right now. The invitation, the gospel invitation, is open to all. If you have any need, won't you come now as together we stand and sing.